What is up, Locked On Pirates Nation? I am, of course, your host, Ethan Smith, who does the most. Hopefully you all are having a phenomenal Friday, January 14th, the second episode of the day that you get today here on Friday, January 14th. And, of course, as always, on Fridays, we are joined by the wonderful Adam Bittner of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And with the news coming out about the CBA yesterday, how does the lockout affect the Pirates directly in terms of pretty much everything that could go on in the organization over the next couple of years? Are we losing pivotal position battles with no spring training? And just how long will this CBA lockout last? That is everything we are going to be covering on today's episode. So hopefully you like CBA talk, because that's what we're talking about on this episode. Thank you all for making Locked On Pirates your first listen of the day every single day on Apple Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Odyssey, and of course here on YouTube. You hit the 100 subscriber mark. Thank you guys so much for kicking off 22 with a bang. And with all that said, let's get this thing rolling with Adam Bittner.
You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And what's going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Locked On Pirates podcast. As always on Fridays, to my right is Mr. Adam Bittner. Adam, how are you today, and how are you looking forward to this Sunday with the Steelers and the Chiefs?
I'm looking forward to it. It should be interesting. It's an extra week of content at post-gazette.com, and so we're excited about that. We've been churning out a lot of stuff, so I guess I'll just get in the shout out now for the brand. If you could check us out and consider subscribing, that'd be great, because we have lots of great Steelers stuff.
Of course, and in reference to today's episode, as I mentioned earlier, it's going to be a lot about, well, not a lot, it's going to all be about the CBA, and I kind of wish the CBA lockout would figure some things out in terms of, like Juju coming back. Whoever thought Juju Smith-Schuster was going to come back and, play? I wish the lockout would be like that. But directly, how does this lockout affect the Pittsburgh Pirates in the short term and the long term, do you think? Because I've had my ideas, but I kind of wanted to hear somebody else's as well.
Well, I think we saw during kind of the pandemic what, that 2020 season where there was, kind of a shortened spring training followed by a shortened summer training. Obviously that's going to favor the guys who are already kind of entrenched on the big league roster. If you have less time to kind of make an impact and impress, and some of these guys who might have been, I think we've talked about this before on this podcast, it's not necessarily so much about those A-level prospects, because they're probably going to be held down for Super 2 reasons no matter what. So those guys are not going to be fighting for spots nearly as much as, maybe some of those B, C-level guys, those guys who get spring training invites that you're not expecting to be on the roster. Those are the guys that win spots out of spring training. And so it's going to be harder for them to unseat, some of these guys that have stuff to prove, starting with probably Kevin Newman. There's obviously a glut of talent in the infield in this organization at the moment. is he the type of guy that could get unseated in a long spring training, compared to maybe a short summer training when you're spending less time ramping up? Those are the questions, I'd be asking now what kind of guys who are on the fringes of the roster could be making impacts that may not be able to without, 30, 35 spring training games that these guys normally get to kind of make their case.
Yeah, and that was one of the things I was going to bring up as well that I've been thinking about, is there was the prospects that Kevin Newman could have been traded this offseason. Of course, that can't happen right now. And one of the things that I kept thinking about in my head was, well, if the season kind of, keeps going down this track of just not being played, those are valuable months for the Pirates too, because nobody's going to kid themselves here. I'm not going to kid you as the host of this podcast. The Pirates are still a rebuilding team. They're still figuring out what they are. They're still figuring out who they have. So there's trade pieces on this roster still. I mean, Kevin Newman is a trade piece. I hate to say this, but if they get a good enough deal for him, Dave Bednar is a trade piece. You have other options in the bullpen, always looking for bullpen arms, especially if the season gets shortened. Teams are going to be looking for bullpen arms all over the place. But it affects the Pirates directly in that scenario because, say, you do want to trade Kevin Newman. Teams only have a sample size of maybe a month, month and a half before the trade deadline, depending on how that would still work, versus seeing him all through spring training and then seeing him at the beginning of the year all the way up until the deadline. So that could affect the Pirates, I think, as well.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I think it probably matters less so for those guys who might be traded, especially like you mentioned, like Bednar. You know, I feel like he's kind of a known commodity. I don't think there's anything that's going to happen in spring training that's going to change anyone's opinion of him. You know, if I was, you know, I think we've talked about this before as well. You know, he's only been here for a year, and he still has a ton of control left. You know, is he someone that? I don't think he's a guy that the Pirates have to trade right now. You know, maybe there's a good case to be made that you want to trade a fungible reliever at the top of his value when you're a rebuilding team. If it picks you up a prospect mm-hmm. who makes an impact for a much longer period of time on better teams, then, you know, that's a legitimate case to make. But the other side of it is, you know, okay, maybe he comes out and has a bad first couple of weeks in the middle of June if the lockout goes until then. Well, you know what? The Pirates don't need him to be. You know, he's not on the last year of his deal. He's not. Yeah. He's not someone they have to trade. He's someone that you kind of would just want to be dealing him at the top of his value, and so it might be a luxury to trade him, but you don't have to. So I think that helps. You know, and I think Kevin Newman probably falls in that category for different reasons too. Whatever you get for Kevin Newman is probably not going to be that great. It's not going to be an organization-changing return. So that's why I kind of look more toward the minors, the development side, because a lot of development happens in spring training. That's the mm-hmm. You know, that's the one time that excuse me, the prospects, you know, kind of get to be around the big league camp, and you know, that's the one time that the big league coaching staff gets to check those guys out in detail. You know, before they're, you know, called up if they're at the AAA level. So you're kind of losing that development time. And when you're a team like the Pirates, that's so much more important, you know, maybe than for other teams that have more veterans, because you want to have those guys get a chance to play and make their case. And they've already, you know, lost a year in 2020 of development. So, you know, if you take that and you combined it with you know, a rough start to 22, you know, that's not great. I think the good thing is that it's only a major league lockout, so there are things teams can do to kind of get those guys in their buildings and get them working. But, you know, there's still nothing quite like spring training. So for the Pirates, it would be, you know, an additional challenge in addition to losing 2020, a year you probably could have used for development purposes.
Yeah, of course, and I agree 100%. And after this break from Built Bar, we are going to actually be talking about some of the individual players that could really take a hit from no spring training and those pivotal position battles. But as mentioned, Adam already knows that Built Bar is the best protein bar on the market. Built Bars are phenomenal. It's still time for New Year's resolutions if you want to make them. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than one. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because they taste good, you'll want to eat it, and unlike other protein bars which can be chalky or waxy, they don't taste like a chemical spill. Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar and net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a standard candy bar, which actually and usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Even if you're not a big fan of working out, you can at least eat something that tastes good and is good for you. That way, when you enjoy a delicious Built Bar, you can almost count it as a workout. Go to BuiltBar.com right now, check out all the phenomenal flavors they have to offer, and use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off of your next order of the best protein bars on the planet. Can't go wrong with them. And as we were mentioning before, about these position battles, as I think, and I've mentioned this even around when the season ended, and I knew that the CBA lockout was potentially coming, I said, if it does not come and we do get spring training, this could quite literally be the most important spring training the Pirates have had in the last half decade. And a lot of people, I think, kind of took that out of context. They're like, what do you mean? Like, does that mean they're going to be contending? I'm like, no. But there's so many moving parts going on right now with how we always mention about the 9 middle infielders, 8 outfielders on the 40-man roster. You have to figure it out. You can't have that many guys on the 40-man roster trying to, I mean, you can, but you really, out of those 9, you got to find 2 to start every day. Or you got to find a way to platoon it to where these guys all get playing time. The outfield, you have 3 spots for 8 guys. You got to figure all this stuff out. But who are some of the guys individually that you were looking at now that could be affected the most by no spring training with no, like, with the CBA lockout?
Yeah, I think maybe the better term for it is messy, right? This is the messiest spring training, and that, you know, I question whether some of these position battles are going to be things that we're talking about in 2-3 years when you're looking at the this being a competing club. How many of these guys are still going to be around? You know, I think that's a valid question to ask. But I think in terms of who's going to be, who are going to have the seats at those tables, who's going to be the incumbent type of players, that's important, because like you said, there's kind of a glut of talent, or maybe, you know, not so talented guys that you know, it's kind of a sink or swim moment for them. And so in answer to the question, are we losing pivotal battles with no spring training? It's how you define pivotal, right? If you're a player who's a fringe player on this roster, if you're a Cole Tucker type of guy, who, you know, closed the season with a little bit of momentum, you know, there was a case for you to still be here at this point and not been let go already. You know, then you're losing a chance to kind of keep that momentum going, right? And prove why you belong here over all of those other guys you have in the middle infield. You know, and you can take and reframe that argument for every guy in that you know, situation. Some of them are more prospects, right? Some of them have spent more of their time in the minors than say a Cole Tucker has, so they're probably in a little bit less danger, unless the Pirates just don't think that they're going to turn out and they don't want to take up a 40-man space, you know, with one of those guys. So, yeah, I think that's kind of what you're looking at is, you know, who's going to be roster chum and who's going to end up, you know, in an organization. And who knows, you might have, you know, one of these guys go out and become a star with another team because the Pirates just don't have room for them. So, star is probably a strong word, but, you know, make an impact, be a solid player for a team.
We're used to it. You already know that.
Exactly. So that's kind of, it's not pivotal probably in terms of the Pirates' future, but I think it is pivotal to the guys who are here. You know, this is their shot, right? And they may be losing that if there's no spring training. And if you only have a summer training type thing at PNC Park with guys who are already on the 25-man and on the 40-man, and you know, that sucks if you're those guys, for sure.
And the guys that I was kind of thinking when I was asking that question about like individuals, one of my favorite guys already that I really want to see play this year that this could affect him mightily is Diego Castillo. I really like what I see out of the guy, but the only thing is right now, alongside with another person I was going to mention, Leover Peguero, both of those guys right now are like down here on the totem pole, because there's no offense to me saying this, I hope, they haven't done anything at the MLB level. I mean, they've done stuff at the minor league level, which is great, but there's plenty of guys that have done that and then, you know, did everything. But right now, with this idea that you're not getting any spring training, they can go and work. Well, technically they can't, because they're on the four. I don't know if they can or not. That's a technicality we don't need to worry about. Either way, both of those guys have all the promise in the world. Now, I'm not saying we see Leover Peguero in 2022. Diego Castillo, I think, was a lot more kind of like a sure thing at some point. But when you look at it now and you're saying, oh, he's only going to get summer training, it gets a little dicey. And there's guys like that, too, like all the 40-man roster guys that got brought up, Travis Swaggerty. He's been in the minors for a very long time. I had Lindsey Crosby, the host of Locked On MLB Prospects, say he was the best defensive outfielder in our system. You have Caden Smith and Jigba, who I love a lot. You have guys like that, Tanaj Thomas, who another guy that could make an impact eventually. And I think that all in all, at the end of the day, the driving point that I was getting across with the pivotal part of it is I don't want it to be where this guy gets five opportunities and then another guy gets one. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's baseball. It's a business. It happens. Businesses even go through this. Like, this is not just a baseball thing. Businesses go through this. And there's tough decisions that have to be made. And I think that this year, and to kind of go on an aside for a second, this is the year I think we're finally going to see Ben Cherington's general manager style, because he's going to have a ton more decisions to make and a ton more of flexibility, I think, as well. Because the last 2 years, like you looked at last year, and I remember we talked about this a lot, JT Brubaker was an awesome pitcher last year, and then his arm just died out on him, like a lot of pitchers did. So we virtually ran out of pitching. This year, he has so many guys he can choose from to throw in there. Of course, Derek Shelton makes those decisions. But Ben Cherington has a lot of flexibility this year. But again, I think no spring training can take some of that flexibility away.
Yeah, well, and you know, I pulled up the 40-man. Some of the guys that – I think a lot of the guys you mentioned have the protection of being prospects who not much is expected of in 2022. I think the guys you really want to start looking at are Cole Tucker. Rodolfo Castro is someone who, you know, has been in the big leagues. We've seen him. You know, can he stick? Hoy Park, Tupiquito Marcano. Those are the kinds of guys who are – kind of in what I like to call the quad A situation, where they're not, you know, established big leaguers, but they're also, you know, they may have already done everything they're going to do at AAA. Granted, Castro came up from AA last year rather than spending a ton of time at Indy. But because of that, he kind of, you know, fills that same hole in my mind, you know, of these guys who've played at the big league level, not necessarily made massive impacts. You know, I've also, they just kind of are languishing in that purgatory kind of between, you know, the upper levels of the minors and having an established place in the big league roster. I think those are the guys that you really want to start with, in terms of what you mentioned, right? Is you know, losing opportunities because, you know, spring training is being threatened right now. And that doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to get their chances in a shortened, you know, exhibition season too. There's just not going to be as many of them, and you're going to probably give the spots to the guys that you've seen more. And you know, that's the unfortunate part. And you know, but then again, if those guys will start the season at AAA as opposed to being on the big league roster, you know, maybe they'll get some chances down there, and we'll get some chances to really look at them, right? Because there won't be any big league games to watch. So, yeah. You know, there's all kind of interesting moving parts there.
Yeah, and I mean, even you mentioning that too, another caveat and another big news story that came out yesterday that kind of deals with the CBA and kind of doesn't is I believe the MLB Players Association is suing over minor league wages. I think I saw that yesterday. We can get into that next Friday, because then I'm sure more stuff will probably come out about it. But before we get into our final segment today, guys, I want to let you know that if you want to bet on the Pittsburgh Steelers +12.5, or as Ben Roethlisberger would like to say, +20, make sure you go to betonline.ag. Betonline.ag is where the game starts, and they would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website are available to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON in all caps to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all of the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports, and as mentioned, BetOnline is where the game starts. We all know, before we get into this final segment, don't listen to my betting advice. I'm very wrong 9 times out of 10. I did bet the Steelers +12.5, and I bet the over on the game. So more than likely, neither will happen. So have fun on Sunday. But I would figure a good topic to end on is the topic we're talking about, the CBA and the lockout. How long do you really think, realistically, this whole thing is going to last? I said May or June, I think, is when we were going to start the season. Where is your head and your mind and headspace about where this season could start and how long this lockout could last?
Well, I kind of have, you know, I'm of two minds kind of about the situation, which is, you know, number one, these things don't happen until there's a looming deadline, right? That's, you know, it's true in politics. It's true in, you know, all kind of facets of life is, you know, two sides don't really move until there's a deadline. And once we start getting closer to spring training, there's going to be more pressure, you know, on both sides to kind of make this happen. Then again, as we saw in the pandemic year, when they had a lot of things to negotiate about how that season was going to work, it took a long time even then, and there were a lot fewer issues to resolve than there are about you know, the entire CBA, right? They were really just held up on pro rata and all that kind of stuff, and it took them months, and they probably lost 2 months of when they could have been playing. They probably could have gotten started, you know, in early May. You know, given the situation at the time with the no fans and the policies and all of that, but they didn't, and that it was not just about the virus. I think a lot of people just kind of have a haze in their mind about that time, that it was just about the virus, and that's just the way things were. But they could have worked a lot of this stuff out, and they didn't. So, you know. And a lot of these labor issues have been simmering for a long time, and I think the players have been, you know, kind of waiting for their pound of flesh. And you know, I think that there is more resolve now than there has been in a long time among the players to get some concessions, you know, from the owners. And so,
yeah.
The season, you know, if we're being honest. It's a bad situation, and you know, I wouldn't rule anything out at this point. If I had to guess, I think I'd line up somewhere with you. You know, if I had to make a pick, I think it'll probably be somewhere in the middle of the season. But I would not be surprised to see, you know, all of 2022 go by the wayside.
Yeah, and I mean, again, that's kind of the scary part. Is I think people at this point, and fans, podcast hosts, journalists, media, whatever you call it, either way would not be surprised at this point. It would not be surprising to me if they just woke up tomorrow and resolved all this and we started the season normally. Would I love that? Of course. I want to watch a full season of baseball again. But on the flip side of the coin, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to start in August. I wouldn't be surprised if we got a 40-game season started in August through September, and then they did the playoffs just to make some money. It would not surprise me at all. And as you mentioned before, too, I don't think it would surprise me at all if we don't get baseball, period. And I hate that. And it's the last thing that baseball needs. I mean, for instance here, I look into, what is it called, ratings and viewer ratings and everything for massive sports events. So I'm a big UGA fan. Shouts out to all the UGA fans that might also listen to this for whatever reason. They won the national championship against Alabama the other night. I'm sure you watched and everything. The game was in Indianapolis. And all I kept seeing all through Twitter was, nobody cares, nobody cares, nobody cares. It's just two SEC teams. It's the same thing every year. Then the ratings come out the next day, and it was the like most viewed college football playoff game of all time. Over the 7 years that this game, or the CFP has been in like that format. So what does that tell me, though, is going on the flip side again, you could hear people talk in Pittsburgh about the Penguins every single day for hours ad nauseum. Hockey at this point is overtaking baseball. Like, I remember 10 years ago, I was 13 years old. 13, this was 10 years ago. Baseball was probably the second most popular sport in America, behind football. And now you look at football, college football, basketball, hockey, and all these other sports, and are doing it so right in all the ways that baseball is doing it wrong. And that's why I think, again, a lockout here and the potential of missing games is the absolute worst thing that can happen for baseball. I really think it is. And I don't think Rob Manfred looks at it that way. And it sucks. That was kind of my little eulogy about all that. But, I mean,
no, yeah, I think there's, you know, there's a lot of greed involved, and you know, I think hockey people would take the suggestion that hockey's taking over baseball is, you know, I just know hockey people, and they would probably say, ah, we got all kind of issues too, and X, Y, and Z. And, you know, I know people are furious because a lot of the national TV games have been, you know, on streaming services with ESPN this year. And there hasn't been as much exposure on. So every, you know, every single league has its issues. I think the problem with baseball, you know, is that just structurally it's so different than the other sports, right? Mm-hmm. Is that you have this entire minor league, you know, sprawling bureaucracy to worry about, right? There's so many more players in these organizations than there are for anyone else. There's obviously more players on football teams than there are on baseball teams, but the organization of the Pirates has, you know, dozens and dozens of players. And so you got to deal with that. And you have to deal with, you know, market size. It's just a huge, you know, point of disparity. And you know, figuring out how to split up the revenue, figuring out how to force teams to spend the revenue that they're given, the revenue sharing. And, you know, you and I got into this, I think one of the last times I was on here, about Bob Nutting. And, you know, how do you deal with an owner like him who is content to just get his check every year? And when you have big market owners who are happy to subsidize that, because they're making so much money that, yeah, competitively it sucks that they have to send money to a guy who's not really trying, you know, but they're still making a ton of money. And the thing about baseball is that it still takes in so much money, right? And it continues to grow its profits. We hear that, you know, baseball's graying. Older fans are really all that is left in baseball. Younger people aren't watching baseball. But the profits keep going up and up and up and up and up. And you have that pressure going against this kind of old-timey setup, right? And the notion of, you know, these players don't get to go to free agency sometimes for 7 years, which for most guys is going to be their entire career. There's just so many, you know, layered issues that have to be worked out. And, you know, it's just all coming to a head. So in one sense, yes, I agree with you. It hurts to go through this for the second time in 3 years. I think it's very possible we might even see like a 1 year CBA just to salvage the playoffs and salvage some of the revenue and then go right back to war next off season. You know, but I think if they can kind of hammer out some major changes in the CBA, it could also be good for the history of the sport. It could also set the sport up well for the future. And you know, I don't want to it's very easy to be cynical, but you know, I don't want to discount that maybe some labor strife this year can't pay off and into something better for the sport over the long run.
And that's a good way to look at it as well. Is I think a lot of people look at this as a completely negative thing, and I mean it is mostly a negative thing. I mean, not anybody's going to tell you that. Like it's but it has its positives. I mean, you understand that the players are finally realizing, hey, we deserve to get, like, minor leaguers deserve to get paid more. We deserve this. Like, the players are starting to realize now that there's a lot that they want, and the owners are also starting to realize there's a lot that they don't want to give, and there's a lot that they also want as well. And at the end of the day, they're going to argue for a while. I mean, everybody knows this already. We've seen them argue already for about a month or two. But it's all going to end up hopefully working out in a positive way for baseball. And as I always mention, if there's three things I could get from a new CBA, is the universal DH, expanded playoff, and something to fix revenue sharing to where owners actually start spending more money, but you can't force anybody to spend their own money, which is kind of annoying, but it is what it is. I guess that's the Pirates standpoint of things, because a Red Sox fan wouldn't even care, probably. But either way, CBA talk is fun, but at some point, me and Adam would be sitting here for 3 hours talking about this. So we're going to cap off today's episode, of course, with Adam letting you know everything he is up to, letting you guys know everything I am up to, and then sending you on your way on this wonderful Friday.
Yeah, like I said, post-gazette.com, all the Steelers coverage this week. Our Pirates guy, Jason Mackey's been helping out. Mike Persak's been helping out. It's kind of full speed ahead with all of that for the entire department. So make sure you check those two guys out. Check out Jerry Dulac, Brian Bacco, Ray Fittipaldo, all three of our beat writers. Obviously our columnists, Paul Zeiss, Joe Starkey, Ron Cook, and Gene Collier. And of course me, I'll be on the website, you know, posting everything that's interesting live during the game and, you know, getting some thoughts out after. So we'll have lots of good stuff coming. Please consider subscribing, because your subscriptions help us do the journalism we love to do.
Of course, and get your coffee ready, too, because if it's anything like the Chargers-Raiders game last weekend, we're going to need it. But you guys already know you can follow me on Twitter at MVP underscore Ethan. You can follow Adam on Twitter at FujiMaster24. That is with a I, not a Y. Yes, I've had people ask before. You can also follow this podcast on Locked On Pirates on Twitter as well. Follow on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Odyssey, and Spotify. Also, make sure you subscribe on YouTube, where you can come see me and Adam's wonderful faces every Friday. Of course, I will see you guys again on Monday with Gary Morgan, talking about whatever is going on in the world of the Pittsburgh Pirates in the middle of January. What could be better, Adam? Talking about Pittsburgh Pirates baseball in the middle of a lockout in the middle of January. I can't think of anything better, guys. But thank you all for listening, as always. Adam, thank you for coming on, as you always do, every Friday. And until then, guys, I will see you on the flip side.